Well, before we get into the football, I gotta get your take on last night. Madison Bumgarner, the Royals, Alex Gordon, should he have gone? Should he have stayed? I guess just a thought on Game 7 last night.
I believe it's a historically significant game when you factor in what Bumgarner did. When you start having to go back over, 100 years or 97 years to find people who did something similar to this, and at that point you're talking about a dead ball era where, offensive numbers aren't even remotely close to what we see on a regular basis now, it's truly phenomenal. I mean, to think that one guy could turn that series, but he really did. I mean, Pence and Sandoval were really the only Giants hitters who did anything remotely consistently. And Bumgarner single-handedly won three of those games, and the rest of the team found a way to win one other one, and that was the series.
I was looking at it. Where was it here? They went 11-4, the Royals did, which is the best possible record you can have without winning the World Series. Pretty remarkable, their run.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And look, when that ball squirts by the center fielder, I mean, as someone who watched all of their games, I'm thinking these guys, they've got a horseshoe up you know where. Like, yeah. they're gonna end up winning this game, on a ball that could have possibly been caught and shouldn't have been any more than a single. But Bumgarner wasn't rattled. I mean, it's not like the game ended on a hard hit ball. It was a pop up that didn't make it to third base. And that was the thing about the Royals. I've never seen a team score that many runs without hitting balls hard. It truly was phenomenal.
Let's shift gears. Football tonight, Thursday nighter. It is the New Orleans Saints, the Carolina Panthers, two in the NFC South. The Saints, with a win, can leapfrog the Panthers for top spot. How much do you take from last week's big win over the Packers for the Saints?
Well, I need to see that consistently now, or at least something close to it. Was that their Super Bowl? Was that their statement game? Was that our backs are against the wall, so, the world's out to get us against them, nobody believes in us, blah, blah, blah. You play all those motivational games. Can Rob Ryan's defense play close to that on a regular basis? I don't know. I can't think that the first six games they played were a total fluke. That's sort of who they are. Can they bring that sort of effort and intensity every week? Can they continue to overcome some of their personnel issues on defense over a long period of time the way they did for the better part of four quarters the other night? I don't know. Look, Carolina's not going to test them all that much. I can tell you that. They've got their own issues. You have to worry about Kelvin Benjamin a little bit, and that's kind of it in their passing game. I mean, Greg Olsen, the tight end, is a nice player, but they're pretty limited. They get D'Angelo Williams back. I would suspect they would try to out-physical this Saints team, at least early on, and see how that goes and see if they can sustain something on the run, get Cam involved in some of that read option stuff, and, see what that looks like. It's a short week, and you have to travel. And as much as Carolina hasn't looked good, that's still a legitimate issue for the Saints. But, look, if New Orleans wins this game, we can stop talking about this division, until New Orleans plays its first playoff game. Because this is as hard as it's going to get in that division. Short week, on the road, at Carolina, the only team that will even flirt with 500. The other two teams in that division will be lucky to get to five wins. Maybe lucky to get to four. So, this is it. This is the NFC division title game, sad as it sounds, in October.
It's funny, this division is loaded with young receivers that you like. You mentioned Kelvin Benjamin, Brandon Cooks had a big game last week. Mike Evans is in Tampa. It kind of has been a year of the rookie wide receiver, which is uncommon in the NFL.
Yeah, it has been. Sammy Watkins is really starting to blossom in Buffalo and looks like he's going to be everything that they hoped he would be. It's been a little slow going for Mike Evans. They haven't had great play out of their quarterback position, which obviously has something to do with that. But he looks like he's starting to the light bulb starting to go on for him a little bit. I like the kid the Packers took, and you're starting to see him show up more and more each week and really be sort of a yard after the catch speed guy. It was clear that Sean Payton last week reinforced the fact that, look, we are not loaded with weapons right now. Jimmy Graham is not 100%. We're short a couple running backs. We don't have
Pierre Thomas?
Squat little guy, catches all the balls. Sproles.
Sproles
anymore. Yeah, now a cadet's trying to fill that role. So let's get Cooks involved and not just in screen passes. And we saw him downfield a little bit more, which is huge because that element of their offense, hadn't been great. So, yeah, we're definitely seeing, some of those kids step in and make an impact early. And really, I mean, Benjamin's the one who had to. I mean, they lost Steve Smith. They lost Brandon LaFell. They really didn't have a whole lot going on at that position. I mean, Jericho Cotchery is a third down guy. He moves the chains in the middle of the field, but they really needed some semblance of an outside receiver, a go-getter, a playmaker, a guy with size. And he's, I mean, five touchdowns already. He's had a hell of a year. But again, as these games get a little more important, as they face, playoff teams within their conference, potential playoff teams, I don't know that they're going to let Calvin Benjamin beat them. I think it's going to be a case where you divert a lot of attention over to him, and then who else there? Olsen can make some plays, but who else is really dynamic enough to make a big play to beat us?
Chatting with Jason Lackenfora, our NFL insider for Shanks Sports Grill. This weekend as well, a matchup of 2, 3, and 5 teams. We don't usually spend a lot of time discussing this, but Washington heads into Minnesota, and it seems as though Gruden is going to go with RG3. They say you don't lose your spot due to injury, but your thoughts on them going back to RG3 as their number one?
Well, I mean, look, he was hired to develop RG3. I mean, that's what this was all about. I mean, the owner calls the shots. The owner's invested in RG3. The owner was a big part of them giving up all those picks to move up and draft RG3. The owner profits when they sell all these RG3 jerseys. And that's an organization that's dying for a quarterback and sort of dying for an identity and a reason for people to watch them play. It's become an increasingly difficult sell in Washington, even though that's obviously a crazy football town. So, yeah, it was always going to be RG3 whenever he was healthy enough to do it. He'll practice fully every day this week, and barring any kind of crazy setback or him aggravating his knee or his ankle or whatever, he'll go. And he'll go every game that he's able to go down the stretch, and they'll see what they have there. I don't know that it's going to be all that pretty. I think the right side of their offensive line is still a problem, and him under pressure isn't a good thing. I don't think he'll ever be as nimble as we saw him his rookie year, when he literally was the best athlete on the field pretty much every week he was out there. That wasn't the case before this latest injury. I have a hard time thinking it'll be the case after it. How much pressure does he feel? How often is he turning it over? And frankly, can he stay healthy? Are all major questions there. But I don't blame them doing this. Colt McCoy is not the answer. Colt McCoy has been around for a while. He is what he is. They need to figure out, are we going to use our first-round pick on a quarterback or not? Where is RG3? How does he operate in this system? What kind of understanding does he have with our receivers and with our coordinators? And can we continue to go with this guy? Because, you guys know the way this thing works. I mean, are they going to pick up his fifth-year option? What are they going to do with the contract? Is he their guy moving forward or isn't he?
They're going to figure that out. How about this gem of a game? We've got Denver at New England. Brady Manning, it never seems to disappoint, does it?
4:25 Eastern on CBS. Absolutely. I'm going to suspect this will be the highest rated regular season game of the season, and frankly, will probably outperform several playoff games as well. This could be the last time these guys meet. They have a very interesting personal rivalry, even though they won't admit it publicly. They want to beat the other guy's brains in, and they are always measured against the other guy. And there, is a certain level of, I won't even call it friendly rivalry. Each guy wants to be remembered as the best quarterback who ever lived, period. They're very acutely aware of their legacy and what they've accomplished and where that sits, versus everybody else who's ever done this for a living. We're not guaranteed that they'll meet in the playoffs, and we're certainly not guaranteed that they're back next year, particularly in the case of Peyton Manning. You've got two offenses that have been at their very best probably the last 2 or 3 weeks. Certainly New England's has taken off. We've seen guys there. Tim Wright, now he gets that offense. Brandon LaFell, now he gets that offense. Rob Gronkowski looks like Gronk again. He had his best game in probably 2 years last week. He seems really confident in that knee, knows how to protect himself a little bit better now. They could still get more out of Edelman than they have the last few weeks. So, yeah, and we know about Denver's, just bounty of options for Peyton Manning. I'm interested to see Darrell Revis versus Demaryius Thomas. That, I think, will decide this game. That's why Darrell Revis is there. I mean, they're paying him, his $12, $13 million a year for this game. If we're playing Denver in Denver in the AFC Championship game, can you take Demaryius Thomas out of the game? And if you can, then we can double Julius Thomas and we can put Brown or Earl Sanders in the slot and we think we have a shot. But if we have to double Julius Thomas and Demaryius Thomas and leave the slot wide open, then Sanders and Welker and those guys, they'll nickel and dime us to death. So this is it. This is where Darrell Revis earns his money. I think he's been pretty damn good, and we'll probably see even better from him down the stretch. So I'm really interested to see that. And New England doesn't have a pass rush right now without Chandler Jones. And that's against the Peyton Manning, that's going to be significant. So does Belichick even try to get after Manning at all, or does he literally just rush three or four and play seven or eight in coverage? And again, bank on Revis takes out Demaryius. We can double a couple of other guys, and let's see if we can pick off some balls.
Jay, we appreciate it. We'll be watching, obviously, like you say, that 2:25 Mountain game, Denver and New England. It feels like with Gronkowski, it's a bit of a game changer for sure for Tom Brady and that offense, and should be a great one. We'll be watching. We'll talk to you on Monday morning.
Have a great weekend, guys. Thank you.